Ancient day, in ancient day, I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The ring, the heart on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The body's young, the semi's weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Fireside Chat with David James. Yes, there's a lot of people out there that are enjoying this new format. And why don't you get your beverage of choice and get yourself a seat here near the fire. And you've heard people talk about, you know, they say how people talk a lot of shite, pardon the expression. Well, tonight we're going to take a look into the Talmud, and we're going to look at the word excrement. And while my friend was over here, we were just looking for the part where Jesus is in a cauldron full of excrement, boiling excrement, and decided to search for the word excrement, and it was a surprise at what I, well, not really a surprise, but I mean, at what I had come out with. Now, we know that the Jews are obsessed with poop, blood, and urine. You must be well aware of that. If you're not, recollect the news recently where I told you that Bill Gates is walking around and going to every meeting that he goes to with a jar of poop. Literally. I know you want to think that Bill Gates is not a Jew, but just go take a look at him, and it's self-explanatory. Also, I remember the show recently where in Israel they have a startup company trying to turn poop into a cooking fluid or something, you know what I mean? So you can cook your food with poop. Or something derived from poop. It's a fuel. You'll also notice the dirty, filthy Jew comedians that are always talking about poop and pee and all these different things. And so this will be a testimony to tell you just how obsessed these people are. They're not even people, but whatever that you want to call them. They're the most subtle beast of the field. And it's it's really outlandish. When you get a load of what you're going to hear in this show, you may laugh a little bit. But if you sit and think about it,
you certainly will be disgusted and just maybe shocked. I really couldn't say if you'd be shocked, but you could be. Wait till you get a load of all this craziness. Because that's what it is, craziness. Okay, this is right in the beginning of the Talmud. And, whoops. This is the first thing where I find excrement, okay? And it's saying that a man was standing saying the tefillah when he remembers that if he is a Baal Kuri, he should not break off, but he should shorten the benedictions. If he went down to immerse himself, he is able to come up and cover himself and recite the Shema before rising, the rising of the sun. He should go up and cover himself and recite, but if not, he should cover himself with the water and recite. He should, however, not cover himself either with foul water or with water which something has been steeped until he pours fresh water into it. How far should he remove himself for it? In from excrement? 4 cubits. Okay, so that sets a little something. So, it talks about Gemara and how the rabbis taught. Now, I want you to picture this now. This is supposed to be a holy book. You want to see me? This is supposed to be a holy book, really. It is just bizarre. If this is a holy book, I'd hate to see what an evil book was. You ready? So then it goes on, and they have time to write all this nonsense. Our rabbis taught, if a man was standing saying the tefillah, and he remembered that he was a Baal Kuri, he should not break off, but shorten the benedictions. If a man was reading from the Torah and remembered that he was a Baal Kuri, he should not break off and leave it, but should go on reading in a mumbling tone. R. Meyer said, a Baal Kuri is not permitted to read more than 3 verses in the Torah. Another Baratha taught, listen now carefully, if a man was standing saying the tefillah and he saw excrement in front of him, he should go forward until he has it 4 cubits behind him. But it has been taught he should move to the side? That's a question. There is no contradiction. One statement speaks of where it is possible for him to go forward and the other where it is not possible. If he was praying and he discovered some excrement where he was standing, Rabbah says, even though he has sinned, his prayer is a valid one. Man. Are you hearing what I'm... This is a holy book, by the way. Wow. That's all I can say so far. Okay. So this is Talmud Mass Berachoth 25a. It has been stated. Now listen, get a load of this. You ready for this? It has been stated, if there is some excrement on a man's flesh, or if his hand is inside a privy, R. Huna says that he is permitted to say the Shema. The Shema is a prayer. While R. Hitta says he is forbidden to say the Shema, Rabbah said, what is the reason of R. Huna? Because it is written, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Our Hista says that it is forbidden to say the Shema. What is the reason of our Hista? Because it is written, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Okay, so it has been stated, if there is an evil smell proceeding from some tangible source, Arjuna says that one removes from the source of the smell 4 cubits and recites the Shema. Arjuna says he removes 4 cubits from the place where the smell ceases and then recites the Shema. It has been taught in accordance with Arjuna, a man should not recite the Shema either in front of human excrement or of the excrement of dogs, or the excrement of pigs, or the excrement of fowls, or the filth of a dung heap, which is giving off an evil smell. If, however, it is in the place 10 hand breaths above him, or 10 hand breaths beneath him, he can sit at the side of it and recite the Shema. I know you're laughing. I understand. I often, go out and when I see Elkie's poop on the ground, I begin to recite prayers near it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's just a practice of white men. We do that all the time. And if we didn't do it, somebody else would, right? I mean, I know you're like that too, right? Don't you often go and find yourself some poo to sit next to? And you might recite a few prayers, right? This is a holy book? Yeah. There's a lot of holes in the notion that this is a holy book. Can you even conceive this? Okay. So, Rabba said, the law is not stated in this Baratha, but it has been taught in the following. A man should not recite the Shema in front of either human excrement or excrement of pigs or excrement of dogs when he puts skins in them. They asked Ar-Shesheth, what of an evil smell which has no tangible source? He said to them, come and see these mats in the schoolhouse. Some sleep on them, while others study. This, however, applies to only study, but not to the Shema. As even regards study, it applies only if the smell is made by another, but not if it is made by himself. Remember that the... Listen, well, I'll keep going. It has been stated, if manure is being carried past one, Abay says it is permitted to recite the Shema, being a prayer, right? While Rabba says it is forbidden to recite the Shema. Say, Abay, whence do I derive my opinion? Because we have learnt, if an unclean person is standing under a tree and a clean one passes by, he becomes unclean. If a clean person is standing under a tree and an unclean person passes by, he remains clean. But if he, the unclean person, stands still, he becomes unclean. That makes all sense to me, doesn't it to you? Did you ever get a notion why they don't want you to read the books of the Talmud? And that if you've read it, they want to kill you? You're starting to get the notion, aren't you? Rab Judah said, if there is a doubt, the presence of excrement, it is forbidden. If there is a doubt about urine, it is permitted. So listen, Rab Judah said, if there's a doubt about the presence of excrement, it's forbidden. Right? And then he says, if there is a doubt about urine, it's permitted. Some there are who say Rab Judah said, "If there is a doubt about excrement in the house, it is permitted. In the dung heap, it is forbidden. If there is a doubt about urine, it is permitted even in a dung heap." He adopted the view of R. Hamnuna, for R. Hamnuna said, "The Torah forbade the recital of the Shema only in the face of the stream of urine." And this is as taught by R. Jonathan, for R. Jonathan contrasted two texts. "It is written, thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And it is also written, that thou shalt have a paddle, that thou shalt cover that which cometh from thee." How are these two statements to be reconciled? The one speaks of erasing, of easing, and the other of urine. This provides that urine was not forbidden by the Torah, save in the face of the stream only. And once it has fallen to the ground, it is permitted. And it is the rabbis who impose a further prohibition. And when they did so, it was only in the case of certainty, but not in the case of doubt. Imagine that we have to read this so you can actually hear what's being said. Can you even believe what you're hearing? Whew. What can I say? I mean, really? Good old Rab Judah. Oh, listen, they want to discuss... This is a holy book. I want to keep reminding you. Okay, so I guess it goes on. where do you start here? Rab Judah said that in the name of Samuel, so long as it moistens the ground, and so Rabbah Hannah, in the name of R. Johanan, so long as it moistens the ground, so too said Ullah, so long as it moistens the ground. So they all agree on so long as it moistens the ground, you see. Whew. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Seeing that even of excrement, Rab Judah has said in the name of Rab that soon as it has dried on top, it is permitted. And is there any question about urine? Said Abay to him, "What reason have you for relying on this statement? Rely rather on this one, which was made by Rabbah B. Bar Hannah, in the name of Rab. Even if excrement is as a potsherd, it is forbidden to recite the Shema near it. What is the test of its being dry as a potsherd? So long as one can throw it on the ground and it does not break, it is not so dry. Some say, so long as one can roll it without breaking it." Rabina said, "I was once standing before Rab Judah of Difti, and he saw dung and said to me, 'Look, if the top has dried or not.' Some say that what he said to him was this: 'Look, if it has formed cracks, what is the ultimate decision?'" Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. "It has been stated, when dung is like a potsherd, Amma Mar says it is forbidden, and Mar Zutra says it is permitted. So I think there's a lot of shite talk going on between all these rabbis, and you can see how much time they have on their hands, because this has been the tradition of men that has been handed down through the ages. So they all decide whether they can say a prayer near poop and whether it's permitted to say it when the poop is in certain conditions, like if it's dry or it's cracked or dry on top, or this is a holy book. I just want you to know. I got to keep reminding you about that. Cuckoo. Somebody's cuckoo, man. Now, here we go. You ready? Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. Our rabbis taught, if the water is clear, he may sit in it up to his neck and say the Shema. Some say he should stir it up with his foot. On the ruling of the first Tana, his heart sees his nakedness. He held that if his heart sees the sexual organ, it is permitted. So if his heart sees a sexual organ, it's permitted to say the prayer. And you know that Yahweh would receive that prayer from these rabbis, don't you? Of course he would. But the heel sees his nakedness. He held that if his heel sees his nakedness, it is permitted. It has been stated, if his heel sees his nakedness, it is permitted to read the Shema. If it touches, Abay says it's forbidden. And Rabbah says it's permitted. This is the way which Ar Zabid taught in the passage Ar Hinnina and the son of Ar, Ika thus. If it touches, all agrees that it's forbidden. If it sees, Abay says it's forbidden, but Rabbah says it's permitted. The Torah was not given to the ministering angels. The law is that if it touches, it is forbidden, but if it sees, it's permitted. Rabbah said, if one sees excrement through a glass, he may recite the Shema in face of it. If he sees nakedness through the glass, he must not recite the Shema in the face of it. If he sees excrement through a glass, he may recite the Shema in face of it. Because the permission, or otherwise, in the case of excrement, depends on whether it is covered. If he sees nakedness through a glass, it is forbidden to recite in the face of it. Because All Merciful said that he see no unseemly thing in thee, and here it is seen. Somebody's cuckoo. Now listen to this. Abay said, a little excrement may be neutralized with spittle, to which Rabbah added, it must be thick spittle. Rabbah said, if the excrement is in a hole, he may put his shoe over it and recite the Shema. Mar the son of Rabina inquired, what is the rule if there's some dung sticking to his shoe? This was left unanswered. I gotta take a sip of water, clean water. No, and it's not water that's been run through the dung like Mr. Gates has been drinking and getting other people to drink. That's well water, and it's clean. So what do you think? Have you ever heard anything so crazy in your life? Does this sound like rational, clear-headed, holy, biblical conversation? Or does this sound like makes sense, any sense to you at all? Would this be something that common sense would rule you that you might not want to pray if you're near excrement? Would you even have thought of that before? I mean, you don't pray on the toilet when you're going to the bathroom, do you? You do know that that would be really ridiculous, right? And you would have never thought of that if it wasn't for these filthy Jews talking this nonsense, correct? This is what they call a holy book. Do you understand now? You can see that this is not the same as the literature that the Israelites wrote, which was Moses, none of whom were Jews. You can also see that though dung is mentioned in the biblical scripture, It's nothing like this. This is just gonzo. Do you ever try to look at excrement through a glass? Phew, these people are cuckoo. Listen to this one. Rab Judah said, "It is forbidden to recite the Shema in the face of the naked of a naked heathen." Why do you say a heathen? The same applies even to an Israelite. In the case of an Israelite, there is no question to him that it is forbidden. But this had to be stated in the case of a heathen. For you might have thought, since the scripture says of them, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is as the issue of horses. Therefore, he is just like a mere ass. Hence, we are told that their flesh is also called nakedness, as it says, "And they saw not their father's nakedness." Could they twist these scriptures anymore? What do you think? Cuckoo. So, you can see that something's wrong somewhere. If I was to put in urine, it's just amazing. I'm telling you, I don't understand these Jews. They are so screwed up. So he's talking about this now. A quarter log of milk from a white goat, our Huna B. Judah said, "Let him obtain a sweet citron, scoop it out, fill it with honey, set it on burning embers to boil, and then eat it." Our Hanina said, "One drinks urine 40 days old as a remedy, a barzina, for the sting of a wasp, a quarter, a log for a scorpion bite." So you drink 40-day-old urine as a remedy. You'd do that, wouldn't you? Huh? I'm asking a question. I'm going to see what else we can come up with here. Oh, listen to this. This is a holy book. Yeah, for sure. "Any person whose urine produces no froth," some say, "he who urinates without forming an ark," some say, "he whose semen is watery," and some say, "he whose urine does not ferment," others say, "he whose body does not steam after bathing in the winter season." Our Simeon B. Eliza said, "He whose voice is abnormal, so that one cannot distinguish whether or not it's a man or a woman." Somebody's cuckoo. So, our rabbis taught again, if he heard the sound of trumpets and was terror-stricken, or the crash of shields and was terror-stricken, and beheld the brandishing of swords, and the urine discharged itself upon his knees, he returns home, is the question? So in other words, if these sounds scared the piss out of him, should he return home? and run back to the city like most Jews do? Somebody's cuckoo. Somebody's cuckoo. Now, listen to this. Are the gonorrheal discharge of Zab, Zab is a young child, young boy, the gonorrheal discharge of Zab, his saliva, his semen virile, his urine, and the blood of menstruation, all which defile, whether by touching or by mere carrying. But why not maintain that the reason here is also because the semen virile of Zab, of a young boy, cannot possibly be altogether free from particles of gonorrhea? It has been the reason the semen virile should have been placed in juxtaposition to gonorrheal discharge. Why then was it placed in juxtaposition to saliva, if not on account of the fact that it is causing defilement, is to be inferred from the law applicable to his saliva? And that's a question. So these rabbis are contemplating all the different I remember they said there's 9 different kinds of discharge out of a Zab, a boy. One of them's his tears, and one of them's semen, and all this different stuff. I mean, they're just gonzo, boy. This is a holy book. You see? My goodness. Here's another one. Seeds, plow furrows, and urine should be kept 3 hand breaths from the wall. The reason is that there is a wall, but if there is no wall, he may bring these things close up to the boundary. No, even if there is no wall, he may not bring them close up. What then does he mention of the wall here tell us? It tells us that moist things are bad for a wall. So they keep jars of urine. You see? This tells you a lot of things about these people, man. These people are gonzo. And they go on talking about how the urine must be removed 3 hand breaths over and over. It must be kept 3 hand breaths from the wall. Now listen to this. Rab Judah says, in the name of Rab, a person is forbidden to keep in his house a measure which is either smaller or larger than the nominal capacity, even if it is used as a urine tub. A urine tub. Are you pissed? Are these people pisses or what? Using urine tubs. Okay, here we go. This is from Gemara. Rabbah said, in the name of Ar, Sahora, in the name of Rab, whatever the sages taught by number is in no particular order except the Mishnah of the 7 substances. For we learn 7 substances are applied to stain the stain. Viz, which is tasteless saliva. That must be where they get the name Vizzer, right? Tasteless saliva. Vizzer. Viz. The liquid exuded by crushed beans, urine, natron, lye, simoleon earth, and ashlag. Can you believe this? Can you believe what you're hearing here? These are recipes, I guess. Now, the latter clause of the Mishnah states, if they were not applied in this order, or if they were applied all simultaneously, the test is inconclusive. Somebody's cuckoo. It ain't me. Now, listen to this. This is holy. This is a holy book. I'm just going to keep hammering on at the fact that this is a holy book. Rab Judah said in the name of Rab, if an idol is worshipped by tapping before it with a stick, and an Israelite broke a stick in his presence, he is liable. If he threw a stick in front of it, he is free of penalty. Abay said to Rabba, why is it different when he broke the stick? Because it resembles the slaughter of an animal in the temple. Then the act of throwing the stick resembles the rite of sprinkling the blood in the temple. He replied, we require a sprinkling which is broken up, and that we have not here. Against this explanation of Rabba is quoted, if he offered to the idol excrement or poured out before it a vessel of urine, he is liable. It is clear why he is liable if he poured out a vessel of urine. Because it is a kind of sprinkling which is broken up. Where there is a sprinkling which is broken up with excrement, with moist excrement, it is to be said that Rab's statement is a matter of dispute between 10 a.m. If one slaughtered a locust to an idol, our Judah holds him liable, but the sages free him of the penalty. Is not this point at issue between them? Our Judah holds that we declare that to incur guilt, the idolatrous worship need only be like the act of slaughter, whereas others hold that we do not declare it's sufficient to be only like the act of slaughter. It must resemble the ritual within the temple. Is that a question? Yes, it is. No, all agree that we do not declare it sufficient to be only like the act of slaughter, and we require resemblance to the ritual within the temple. But it is different with a locust because it has a neck like the neck of an animal. Boy, oh boy. Okay. Man. So here it says, it goes on and it's saying, we're going back to this dung and everything else. If he gave him one more lash and the offender died, he goes into banishment. If the offender befouled himself either with feces or urine, he is discharged, our Judah says. Feces in the case of a man and urine in the case of a woman. If he befouled himself, etc., our rabbis taught the offender, whether man or woman, is discharged on losing feces but not urine. These are the words of our Meyer, and our Judas says, a man is discharged on losing feces and a woman on losing urine. But the sages say man and woman alike are discharged on losing feces or urine. But then, is it not also taught, our Judas says, the offender, whether man or woman, is discharged on losing feces? Said our Nahum B. Isaac, there is no contradiction, as the latter citation merely states that, in regard to feces, it is the same in the case of a man or a woman. Well, I'm glad they decided that. You know, that, I mean, this is, let me tell you, this is important stuff here that to discuss. And, you know, really, really, we've got to make this clear. I mean, this is equal to Scripture, I want you to know. They say that the Christian books of the Bible all came out of the Talmud. They came, see, the Talmudism, or whatever you want, Judaism, spawned out Christianity. And you can see that very clear, that this sounds just like the Bible to me, doesn't it to you? I mean, doesn't this sound like some mental institution somewhere in New York? With these satanic black magic practicing Pharisee rabbis who are so crazy because they've been drinking blood and eating flesh of human flesh that their minds are totally warped out of their heads. And they actually write these things down? And they require you to read them? Not you, but their fellow Jews? I mean, get a load, not to be pun, be, make a pun, but get a load of this, you know? Now listen, it just gets crazier and crazier all the time. This is in Mishnah Mass Eduyot chapter 5. Our Judah cites six instances of lenient rulings by Beth Shammai and rigorous rulings by Beth Hillel, the blood of a carcass. Beth Shammai pronounced clean, and Beth Hillel pronounced it unclean. An egg found in a bird's carcass, if the like of it were sold in the market, it is permitted. And if not, it is forbidden, according to the opinion of Beth Shammai, and Beth Hillel forbid it. But they agree in the case of an egg found in a trefa, a bird, that it is forbidden, since it had its growth in a forbidden condition. The blood of a Gentile woman and the blood of purity of a leprous woman, Beth Shammai pronounced clean. And Beth Hillel say, it is like her spittle and her urine. One may eat fruits of the seventh year with an expression of thanks, and without an expression of thanks, thus according to the opinion of Beth Shammai, but Beth Hillel say, one may not eat except with an expression of thanks. Whew. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Somebody's crazy, and it ain't me. No, it ain't me. But in the following, okay, for it was taught, if one immerses a pail containing white wine or milk, we decide by excess, our Judah said. We regard it as though it were red wine. If its appearance goes faint, it is valid. If not, it is invalid. But the following contradicts this. If one immersed a pail of saliva, it is as though he had not immersed it. If it was full of urine, we regard it as though it were water. Are you hearing this? Huh? How'd you like to have some wine made from Jews? They regard a pail of urine as if it were water. If it was filled with the water of lustration, the water of the milkwe, we must exceed the water of lustration. Now, whom do you hold that we regard? Our Judah? Yet he teaches that an excess is sufficient. The latter is his own view. The former is his teacher's. For it was taught, our Judah said on our Gamaliel's authority, blood cannot nullify other blood. Saliva cannot nullify saliva, and urine cannot yet nullify urine. Trying to find you something else here so you can... Okay. This is in Mass Berachoth 25a. But the tefillah he may not say until he covers his chest. Arjuna said, if a man forgot and entered a privy while wearing his telephon, a privy would be like a little outhouse with a toilet. He places his hand over them until he finishes. Till he finishes. How can this be assumed? Rather, it is R.B. Naaman B., Isaac said, until he finishes the first discharge. But why should he not stop at once and get up? On account of the dictum of R. Simeon and B. Gamaliel, as it has been taught, R. Simeon B. Gamaliel says, keeping back the feces brings on dropsy. Keeping back urine brings on jaundice. It has been stated, if there's some excrement on a man's flesh, or if in his hand, or if his hand is inside a privy, Huna says that he is permitted to say the Shema. as we had seen before. Listen, these people are gonzo. See what comes up for drinking blood. Nothing. So we'll just try with blood. This isn't even going through the whole Talmud either. I just can't, for the life of me, understand how if you just took a few minutes to look through this swill, this absolutely disgusting crap, how you wouldn't come to the conclusion that these people are mentally ill. I mean, really. It's hard to find the Talmud, the real one, because they don't want you to read it. And I get a feeling that this one is not the full Talmud. It says it's the Bavli, but I don't believe it is. I don't even know if that'll come up. May Yahweh come and destroy these Jews as soon as possible. I mean, I don't really know what else you can say about it. I mean, this is the kind of swill that lives among us. Now, you've heard other things. My friend told me when he was here that he read in the Talmud personally that they bury at least 7 goyim children in the northeast section of the synagogue. That's a requirement. And of course, I believe him because he had the real Talmud, the one that was forbidden for sure. Remember that there's 2 versions of the Talmud. There's the one that they make for, that has everything stripped out of it. And then there's the real one, where all the goodies are in it. And They don't want you to read that. They will claim that they will actually kill you for reading it. This is where you'll see all the things, like all the quotes you've heard. I mean, can you imagine the discussion of the rabbis behind closed doors? If this is the discussion in the books, this shows that they are a filthy people. That they have jars of urine and dung near them and everything like that. And they're just like the rest of the beasts of the field. The only reason Jews use toilets at this point, or Negroes or any of them, is because they have them here. If they went back to their own lands, they wouldn't use toilets. Because they'd revert right back to what they are, beasts of the field. The beasts of the field that are coming into America, you would think, hey, well, this is the year 2018. They're all pooping in toilets across the world, but that's not true. The beasts of the field still don't poop in toilets in the great percentage. They just poop anywhere they're at. If they're in a hospital, they'll crap right on the floor. If they're in a government building, they'll crap right on the floor. If they're in a supermarket, they'll piss or crap right on the floor. This is how a bird or an animal is. Even a dog knows better than these people. Now, if you gotta go, you gotta go. But, you know, dogs and everything, you know, if you don't let them out after a while, they have to go. But generally speaking, they won't go. They'll hold it as long as they can to, you know, make sure they don't poop in their own space. Now, a pig is smart enough to poop in one corner and eat in the other, but that's just like a beast of the field. They'll still eat near the poop. This is crazy. I realize that this is, crazy talk and everything, but I think it's necessary for you to be able to really see what's going on here. Because this is the kind of crap. This is what's going on in your world. You know, when you were looking at what's happening in the world with I see these things where people are pooping all over the place, and I see you don't see that on the mainstream media. I had stories about how in India, they call them street poopers. They use the other word, of course, which is really not that bad, but you know. They call them street poopers, and they poop all over America here the same way. So they gave the government, and of course the Jews are trying to clean up the image of the beast of the field, trying to teach them to poop in toilets. So they gave the people of India toilets, the government did. And what did they do with the toilets, ladies and gentlemen? Let me just ask you. What happened? Did it change everything? Did they start pooping in the toilets? No, they used them for storage. And they kept pooping everywhere, all over the place. See, if you're at the beach and you got to poop or pee, you just poop right there. You don't go into the bathroom and poop. This happened in the Durban Beach in South Africa. In one weekend, there were streams of urine and poop all over the beach. The beach was destroyed. This is a beautiful beach. The Negroes left, I believe it was 69 babies behind. In one weekend, they took a beach that was unsoiled and gorgeous and turned it into a garbage dump. You see, so there's no reason for you to feel guilty about calling these people beasts of the field. And believe me, it includes the Jews too. Yes, I believe in America the Jews are somewhat pooping in toilets. But I'm going to tell you a little story real quick about poop. A friend of mine told me a story that he had a girlfriend one time. And he went into the bathroom to go to the bathroom. And she was sitting there with a surprised look on her face in the bathtub with logs of poop floating around in the water. Now, I must say that that is just outlandish. This is the craziest world. I swear we're in hell almost. I just can't, you know, this is where the devil, this is how hell would be, just with a lot more flames. Praise the Father, for he gives us one another to help each other and to bring a little heaven to each other's earth here. Bring a little of the Father's kingdom that lives within us and help each other through this hell. I want to tell you that there's good news about Parker. Parker got a clean bill of health, and I'm so thankful. I thank the Father over and over again, and I'm going to continue to thank him for that. Thank you, too, for your prayers for Parker. That is amazing. We believe that the Father healed him, and his parents are elated. I'm elated myself. I'm just very happy about that. Very thankful. He's a young feller, you know what I mean? So, I hope that you are enjoying my shows. I know this was outlandish, but it had to be shown to you. This is not a holy book. This has nothing to do. It's not a companion book to the Bible. It's a book out of the bowels of hell, literally. A set of books, the Talmud. Now you know why they don't want you to read it. And that's all you need to know. Listen, I'll see you next time on Fireside Chat with David James. I love all of you, and I'm praying for all of you, and I ask you to do the same for me. Yahweh bless you.
So full of doubts, I wonder what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade. You kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out. The bud is young, the sun is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just